Exodus chapter 18, starting at verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand round you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them serve as judges for the people at all times, but let them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country.
Well, the queue went all the way down the road for hundreds and hundreds of yards. Those in it said they'd been waiting for hours, and they were only creeping forwards very slowly. And within the queue, people were starting to get tetchy, especially when someone tried to push in and force their way closer to the front. There were arguments. There were heated exchanges. And some people were starting to lose hope. They queued before and not got very far. They were queuing again today, and they decided to just turn round and go home. I'm not speaking of the petrol queues. Speaking of what we read of here in Exodus 18, people queuing to see Moses. Look at what we're told in verse 13. Do find it again in your Bibles. Exodus 18, verse 13. "The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for all the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening." A queue. Waiting for their appointment, their turn to share their struggle with Moses, for him to bring light and a decision and help. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing, verse 14, He said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" "Well, they need help," says Moses. "They are having disputes. They need wisdom. And when they have a dispute, it's brought to me. And I can decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Jethro shakes his head. Verse 17, "What you're doing, Moses, is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." Jethro is about to give some wise advice to his son-in-law. Remember Jethro from last week, that extraordinary conversion, I think, that's going on in those verses, of him hearing what God has done for God's people, the rescue from Egypt, and him confessing, "This is the real God." Remember him bringing sacrifices, the worship that he brought. Remember the communion that he enjoyed with Moses and Aaron and the elders of God's people. Jethro, newly converted, the next day brings advice to Moses. This section, if you remember, we've been looking at how God is teaching his people. He's brought them out of Egypt, he's rescued them, he's shown them his grace, and now he's shaping them as his people. He's helping them to see they need to depend upon him. He's teaching them lessons. Remember the L plates that we had a few weeks ago? From what we see, we can learn warnings and learn from them. Well, here again, there's some learning going on for God's people. What do they need? How are they going to function as God's people as they become his nation? Particularly, it seems, left to themselves, God's people would fall out, that they would have disputes. They need help, some advice, some wisdom, some teaching, some instruction. So they queued to see Moses. I think the same is true for us, isn't it? Life is quite complicated. People are quite complicated. We're quite complicated. And there's many occasions where we need wisdom. We need instruction. We need help. What should we do in this situation? What's the right decision? Who's right? What next? And without instruction, without wisdom, well, there'll be trouble in our homes, wouldn't there? There'd be trouble in our churches. There'd be trouble in life. So Jethro speaks into the situation and brings four things that God's people need in their leaders. And it is leaders that the focus is on. God's people, you need leaders over you to bring this instruction, this wisdom, this help. Four things Jethro points to. The first is this: God's people need leaders who pray for them. Now, Jethro isn't bringing some fancy management strategy. Now, he's not turned up in his corporate suit with a, "Here's the plan, here's what you need, here's 10 videos that you can watch and it will sort out the management structure of the whole people of God." There is a management structure that he brings, but he leans first upon God. Look at verse 19. "Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you." Jethro, newly converted, surrenders, if you like, his advice to God, what he's about to share with Moses. He recognizes Moses' leadership responsibility of the people. And as Jethro comes to him, there is this surrendering. May God be with you in this. May the outcome be glory to him. And that leaning upon God goes on. Rest of verse 19. "You must be the people's representative before God," he says, "and bring their disputes to him." Moses wasn't to go about this in his own strength, with his own wisdom. No, there was to be a leaning on God, a looking to the Lord. Speaking to God was crucial. Moses wasn't to lean on his own understanding, his own wisdom, his own resources. He was dependent on the Lord. The Lord had already been teaching that lesson, hadn't he, several times in the last few chapters. Well, that's true for any of us. In any leadership responsibility, we need to depend upon the Lord. In our workplaces, in our families, where we've got responsibility, we need to be prayerful people. We can't do those things on our own. We need the Lord's help. The prophet Samuel spoke of not praying for the people that he was responsible for as being a sinful thing to do. That neglect of prayer was so serious. I've been challenged by this week as I've studied this passage. Listened to a talk last week of addressing the fact that over the past sort of 18 months, during the pandemic, lots of leaders in fairly high-profile positions, both in terms of our government, but also in terms of the church, have been toppled, if you like, have been removed from that position because of something that's gone on in the background, in their private lives. The talk I listened to said, what goes on in private is so crucial. In the private room, Jesus' advice of when you pray, go into the room, close the door. This isn't for show. This isn't praying with other people, though we should be praying with other people. Do we pray on our own? Are we there before the Lord, seeking his help and leaning upon him? I need to do that more in my role here as pastor. I need to do that more as in my role as a dad and a husband. I guess for all of us, often we can easily be prompted, can't we, or been made to feel guilty about not enough prayer, but it's here front and centre as we come to how do we think of leadership? Are we praying? When are we praying? Are we making time to pray? As you think of the week ahead of you this week, the different things you're facing, the different responsibilities you've got ahead of you, when are you going to pray about them? When will there be that time and space to bring it to the Lord? God's people need leaders who pray for them. Secondly, God's people need leaders who teach and apply God's word. Again, Moses wasn't to lean on his own understanding, and neither were the people. Look at verse 20, teach them his decrees, God's decrees. And instructions. They needed help. We need help. We can't just think what we think is best in terms of living, how we go about life, what's right or wrong. Our hearts are prone to go the wrong way, to be selfish, to be sinful, to be drawn to the wrong things. We need God's instruction. We need help. Now, this section is sort of setting up what's going to come next. We're in Exodus 18. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments are given to God's people. The law is given to God's people. The instruction is coming. We've got even more, haven't we? We've got this whole book, God's Word. We've got his instructions for us, everything we need for life and godliness. Let's not rely on our own resources. What we think is right. Let's keep coming back to God's word. What does he tell us? How does he guide us? What does he say? And those instructions, says Jethro, shouldn't just be sort of read out as instructions. They also need to be applied. I don't know what you're like when you use instruction manuals. Some of you, I guess, don't bother. You don't need the manual. You just sort of head straight in. You know what to do. And some of you get by. Generally, you perhaps do. One of the best things that we have at our fingertips recently is YouTube, isn't it? It's not just a list of instructions. We're shown what to do. Bit of plumbing. We can look it up and see. How do I do that? What mustn't I do? Where could this go horribly wrong? There's a video. We can see it. We're shown. This is what we're to do. Look at what Jethro says. Verse 20. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. We need that help, don't we? Are we making use of a devotional with our Bible readings? We need to be reading the Bible. Let's not put the Bible down and just read other things, what people think about the Bible. No, let's read the Bible. But then also, it's helpful, isn't it, to have somebody help us with that. How does this work out? How can we apply this for ourselves? It's one of the things, the good things about growth groups, that we can look at the Bible and we can receive help. The things that we lean on, the resources that we use in our growth groups to apply it for our lives. Hopefully that's one of the helpful things of what we're doing right now as we look at God's Word. That we're not just sitting in silence reading God's Word on our own and then going home. No, the idea is that I try and help us illustrate things and explain things and show us what does this mean. We need help to understand God's Word. God's people need leaders who teach and apply God's Word. Would you pray that we would do that faithfully? Would you pray that those teaching out the back at the moment in Coveys and Sunday Club and Starters and Creche, the things that are said and shared, they'd be faithful and true? We're all fallible. We need God's help to be faithful to him. God's people need leaders who teach and apply God's word. Thirdly, God's people need leaders, plural, not singular. And this is at the heart, isn't it, of what Jethro is getting at as he observed what was going on that day, as he saw the long queues. What you're doing is not good, he said, verse 17. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Others were needed to share the load. So look at verse 21. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them serve as judges for the people at all times, but let them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. Now, God is a God who brings order out of chaos. It's what he did at creation. It's what he longs to go on doing as we look to him. And here he is with his people and he's bringing order out of chaos through the mouth of Jethro. It was too much for one man. There were thousands of people who'd come out of Egypt. Moses couldn't do this alone. And so by breaking things down, appointing people to oversee thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, well, that was bringing order out of chaos, wasn't it? Sensible, it's wisdom. The people wouldn't be frustrated. Moses wouldn't be burnt out. Others would be able to serve. Of course, that's true for us as a church, isn't it? It's not about one person to lead the church. No, the Bible speaks of a plurality of leadership. At this church, we have elders as leaders, and that's plural. There's a good reason for that. It guards against a dictatorship, hopefully. And it means that the load is shared. We're trying to work out a little bit better how we can better organise ourselves as a church family. We're quite a large family, aren't we? And particularly the growth group structure is a way of doing that. So we're trying to see if we can sort of spread the elders that we've got amongst the growth groups. Is that a way of making sure that everyone's got contact with one of the leaders? When things come up in life, where there's struggles or issues or difficulties, is there a leader to hand that we can turn to, we can ask for prayer and for help and for guidance? Now, our problem at the moment, which is true across lots of areas of church life, is that we're spread quite thin. We need to pray for more leaders. And as we pray that the Lord would raise up more, what do we look for in our leaders? Well, that's where Jethro goes next. Fourthly, we need leaders with the right character. Look again at verse 21. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. It's interesting, isn't it? We're prone to think, who's got the skills? Who's got the experience? Who's had responsibility elsewhere? But surely that's the right kind of person to put into a leadership responsibility within the church, within God's people. But that's not where Jethro goes. And it's interesting, in the New Testament, it's not where the Apostle Paul goes. No, more important than skills or experience are character. Notice the things that are drawn out in verse 21. People who fear God. You know, most of us fear people. I quite often fear people. What will people think if I do this or do that? If I don't do this or I don't do that, what will people think? What will they say? How will they view me? Most of us fear people, don't we? It shapes what we wear, where we go, how we speak, what possessions we have. We naturally fear people. We're people pleasers. But there's someone else we should fear, not people. We need to fear God. God over all, and think, what will he think about what we say, what we do, what we buy, where we go, how we behave? God is always watching. Well, we've thought of this before, haven't we? He's saved us. He's through the Lord Jesus. If we're trusting in him, he's not looking to punish us for the things we do wrong because of Christ. Yet, he calls us to live lives that honour him. Now, that's what the law is going to help God's people with as we come to that through chapters 20 to 24. But over it all, is there a fear of the Lord? Am I honouring him? Am I seeking to please him through my life, through my words, through what my eyes look at, through how I spend my time and my money? As we look for leaders within the church, we look for people who fear the Lord. Secondly, look for trustworthy men, says Jethro. Have they been proved to be faithful? Can they be trusted with the responsibility? There's three dangers quite often, aren't there, with positions of authority. The dangers of money, of sex, of power. They can be abused, misused so easily if somebody's got a position of responsibility. We've seen that. A number of church leaders over the past couple of years who've fallen because they've gone astray with money, with sex, or with power. So as we look for leaders within the church, we want to look for people who are faithful. Faithful in the small things, the simple things. They're reliable, trustworthy. And lastly, do they hate dishonest gain? Again, that comes from a fear of the Lord, I think. And particularly here, these leaders were to particularly act as judges over God's people. When disputes were brought, it would have been a disaster, wouldn't it, if they could have been bribed? There'd be no justice. It's true today, isn't it? Bribery is an awful thing where there's corruption. Gets rid of justice. And so here, looking for people who hate dishonest gain, who can't be bribed, who would be fair and true in their decisions. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. Get your finger in Exodus 18. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 1, here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women or the wives of deacons or female deacons, I think, are to be worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, must manage his children and his household well. Those who've served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. It's the same thing, isn't it? What Jethro says back in Exodus 18, it's the same that Paul is writing hundreds of years later to the church, which stands for us today. Now, it's not looking for the perfect. There will be failings and grace needed as we look for leaders of God's church, but it is looking for these patterns, for these things, these characteristics. And as we pray for more leaders for God's church here, let's be praying that God would raise up people like this who can help us share the load, who can help us move forwards as God's people. And let's pray for our leaders. We thank God for David Bentley, Nick Cornish, Chris Wyman, Bruce Williams, Pete Fletcher, who serve as elders alongside Chris and myself. We thank God for Neil Goddard, Jennifer Espejo, Dave Hoare, who serve as deacons. Let's pray for them in those roles as they seek to serve us. We look at character, the right character. We see that in Moses too, don't we? Just as we finished back at Exodus 18. Wonder how you'd have responded to your father-in-law sidling up to you and giving you this advice, if you've got one. Wonder what Moses might have said to him. Jethro, can't you see the cue? This is going to take quite a bit of work, isn't it, to try and find other people to do the job? And who are you anyway? You only came to faith yesterday, and here you are telling me what to do. I'm the leader of God's people. And there's too much to do. I haven't got time for this kind of management consultancy stuff. Let's leave it for another day. Look at verse 24. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. You know, in Numbers, it says to us that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. And I think we see a glimpse of that here, don't we? This great leader who'd led God's people out of Egypt, who'd confronted Pharaoh, who'd parted the Red Sea. He listened to this advice. He took it on board and he did it. It's no pride, no arrogance, humility. Recognized Jethro was right and he acted. Again, that was a character trait of Moses, wasn't it? Moses was in the right position as leader of God's people. His character proved it. He was humble and ready to listen. May that be true of us in our leadership positions, positions of responsibility. May we be keen to keep learning. For you, whatever your responsibilities are this week, may there be something from this passage that you take away. Will you pray this week? Responsibilities that God's entrusted to you. Will you look to God's word this week, not lean on your own understanding, but lean on his instruction, his guidance, his help for how to live and do and act and behave in the week ahead. We pray for our leaders, and we ask the Lord to raise up more from amongst us, that the load might be shared, that we might function well as a church family, that we would be able to keep growing, that we might honour God in this area as his people. And in all these things, may we depend on God's Spirit to guide us and lead us and be at work in our hearts.